listening to Demise of the Podcast with Patrick Attaway, my podcast where I discuss writing specifically today. Nobody's writing because we're doing another episode where I just fucking talk. You ready for that? You ready to hear me talk? Could you imagine me having a podcast and me talking? I can't. Well, I was going to do Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil this week. And as you may have heard in the last episode that I think I posted Wednesday, I posted more episodes of this podcast in this past week than I ever have in 1 week. This past week I did 3. So technically this is number 4, but within a 7-year period. But I was going to do Erica Dawson instead. She's a poet. Then I thought I'd do David Sedaris again. I picked up one of his books and I reviewed the essays that were inside of it. And I said, I don't want to do this right now. So I'm not doing anyone. I'm not reading anything at the moment. I may change my mind in the middle of the episode. I have some of my poems pulled up in a folder. But you know what? I really enjoy just talking, and I'm going to do that today. Next week, we'll get back into writing, but today, we're just going to talk. And for those of you who are interested for this talk, in my Yeti, I have some sparkling watermelon water from the luxurious Walmart, and that is going to help sustain me from the next 40 to 60 minutes. So this week was interesting. The previous week at my job, my manager was fired. And if she quit without notice, then I would be very surprised. But seemingly she was terminated from her position. So this past week, the week of the 4th, I have been doing a lot of work, getting a lot done, but afterwards, you know, I get off work, I work from home, and then I turn around and maybe I play some guitar to take my mind off things, or I just go lay on the couch and scroll on TikTok for a while. My wife was off 2 of those days, so that was exhausting. And Friday, which was yesterday, I had to train someone out of nowhere for a couple of hours. But that was kind of fun, actually. I didn't mind doing that. But I didn't get out of my chair the whole time. I didn't go pee. I didn't get something to drink. I didn't get my afternoon snack. I don't eat 3 meals. I eat breakfast, and then I have a snack in the afternoon, and then I eat dinner. And I'm supposed to not eat after dinner, but that doesn't always work out. And here lately, I have been feeling like a goddamn blob. I'm still under 200 pounds, so that's good. But still, I feel just terrible about my body. Which, you know what's interesting is that there are people who have the opposite problem of me where they can't gain weight. And that's a horrible thing. And then there are people who are a lot bigger than me too, but this is my problem. This doesn't concern you. You know, don't judge me for judging myself. God damn it. Is Patrick just going to sit here and talk about his fucking weight the whole time? No. A few minutes ago, I did something persnickety on Twitter. And oh boy, I just know that people are going to believe it, because that's what people on Twitter do. So I have an app on my phone called Followers Analyzer for Twitter. And I pay for it, so I don't have ads or anything. But it just keeps track of who follows and unfollows you, who's not following you back. That's primarily what I use it for, because after people unfollow me and retain me as a follower, I block them. If people follow me and then in the same day or the next day they unfollow me, I generally block them too. It's just good practice. And then it shows you people who didn't accept your follow request, which for me is none because I don't follow people anymore unless they follow me first. Which, considering I had 10,000 followers in 2020 and now in 2022 I just have 13,000, I might need to start doing that, but I don't particularly care because the thing is that all these followers amount to fucking shit. They're not buying my books, and most of them are not even paying attention to my tweets anymore. And I am not entirely convinced that Twitter is not shadow banning me for some reason, because that happened to Katie B. Sweet not long ago, and she had to really fight to get that removed from her account because her engagement went way down out of nowhere. And so she argued with the Twitter overlords and they were like, oh no, that we've done nothing to your account. And she said, look, my engagement has gone from hundreds, thousands to just like a few likes per tweet. So you're obviously burying me in your algorithm. And you know, at the same time, what annoys me about Twitter is that I have a list of people that I follow called the Cool Kids, and I like almost every single one of their tweets. And I've come to realize, I mean, I've known this for a while, nobody has me on a list like that. Nobody is liking all of my tweets. There's not a single soul on Twitter out of my 13,000 followers that's liking all of my tweets, which just reminds me that this platform is bullshit. But as I said, if I deleted my Twitter, my sales would tank. So I'm stuck for the time being. Now, I think about deleting it every fucking day. Oh my God. I know you're all bored of hearing me talk about Twitter, but point being, I posted a screenshot from that app, but I changed something about it. And instead of showing the people I'm not following back, which is 3,399 people, I screenshot it. I put the picture on my desktop, opened it in Paint. Yes, I used Paint. I'm not technologically advanced enough to use Photoshop. I don't have Photoshop on my desktop. I've never used Photoshop. 30 years old, never even opened Photoshop. And I blacked out where it said, I'm not following back. And I had to find the same text as the rest of the app. And I did pretty easily. It's pretty common text. And I put muted you. And I posted it to Twitter because why not fuck with people, right? And my tweet is, no wonder my engagement is low. 3,399 muted me this week. I guess I'll have to look and see who it is and start blocking. And I can't wait for people to respond. You know, people have already responded. Zev Good responded, that many people muted you in 1 week? And then Janie responded, you must have been busy this week. Yeah, I am a barrel of laughs, let me tell you. But yesterday I went to go see Thor Love and Thunder, for those of you who love great non sequitur transitions. And we bought three seats so that we wouldn't have to sit next to anyone. And if you buy if you got just two people and you buy three seats and you're at the end of a row, then you don't have to sit next to, you don't have anyone on either side of you. So we did that for Thor, and I didn't even question the price of the tickets when my wife ordered it on the app. I don't know how much movie tickets cost, but she bought them, and we get there, and the person who scans her phone while I'm in the bathroom tells her that she'll have to go get 3D glasses because she bought tickets to the 3D movie. And when I get out of the bathroom, my wife is looking at me and she said, well, interesting development. We're going to see it in 3D. And I'm like, you're fucking with me, aren't you? You're kidding. The only movie before this that I've seen in 3D was Captain Marvel. And while I really liked that movie, I hated watching it in 3D. For one thing, you're watching a movie that has not been brightened to help with the glasses themselves, which look like sunglasses. They are actually shaded. So if you take the glasses off, the colors and the lighting of the movie are normal. But when you put them on, it looks like you're watching the movie with sunglasses on. And not, I don't mean like Ray-Bans or something. You're watching it with those shitty sunglasses that they give to kids in kindergarten that have animals on top of them. You know what I'm talking about. You can get them at the dollar store. Imagine watching a whole movie like that. And the 3D, I kept waiting for it to get good. There were parts that were cool, but for the most part, it looked normal. It didn't look like a 3D movie. All that for extra money, and we paid extra for, I paid extra for a seat that no one used. And I can't help. What's also interesting is that other people are doing that, by the way, because we looked on the app and it'll show you who's already bought seats. And the couple who sat next to us also bought extra seats so they wouldn't have to sit next to each other. So we had two empty seats, but I'm not complaining about that. But people are actually having to spend more money to socially distance, essentially. And I guess theaters caught on to this pretty early because, as you may recall, back in October, we went to go see The Many Saints of Newark for my birthday. And when we get in the theater, this has been the first time we'd been in a theater in a while. Four people without masks sat right next to us. And we got up and we left. And we watched it on HBO Max. And I was so upset that I tweeted at Regal and they didn't respond. But I said in my tweet that if anyone tweets at me that they'd rather watch it at home or anything like that, I will block you. I was just so incensed at the time. And I don't block people for just anything. I've blocked people who I don't follow or who don't follow me when I see them tweet dumb shit when I'm just looking through tweets. Sure. I'm never going to interact with them. They're never going to interact with me. I just don't want to see their fucking dumb tweets. So who cares? Most of the people that I've blocked have been the people who follow and then unfollow. It's a stupid game. I don't want to spend this whole episode talking about Twitter. I don't want to spend this whole episode talking about my ass. I don't want to spend this whole episode talking about anything else. We are going to talk about nothing. So I'm going to just pick one of my newer poems at random and start reading, and we will go from there, because last time I did that, it actually worked out, I happen to think. But this is something that I wrote in February called Republicans Don't Read Derrida. Dull belts through a lying mouth as if the last word means they won a fight when no one threw punches. You can tell an imposter from how they love the music of the free while their votes slide to the red and the right. As the sight of them with a broken jaw might entice dark ambition, see them slow boil in their hatred stew, posing with small fish, cheering stock cars, making left turns, and wearing gold rings like dead gospel stars. Their poor offspring never know true passion or living beyond plastic, stuck in the same position and conceive the bored head child. All your seed lost potential, even with Derrida of it all. Truth exists and eludes you. I must have read something or seen something that really made me upset when I wrote this. This, anytime I write a poem like this, I just think back to 2013 when I took that awful poetry class when the professor said that that's not a poem, that's a rant. I think that Bukowski is the person who I always point towards as being one of the best poets. He's a poem writer, you know, on them. He ain't no poet. He's a poem writer. He's probably a lot more eloquent than I am as well. As is most of the people listening to this, I'm sure that they could do a better job podcasting this kind of bullshit than I could. I should hire someone to do this podcast for me and read my stuff, because God knows I can't do it. But I just think that the right, the political right in America, is just wallowing in stupidity. But the left, whenever they say stupid shit, I'm like, you're supposed to be smarter than that. But it's never true. The left and the right, they both think that they're right. And what amuses me is that so many of them don't understand the contradiction of that. But who am I? You know, I'm nobody. I don't have a degree in political science. This next poem is called Thriving. Did I read this last time? I don't think so. We'll read it anyway. We are simply not prioritized, and the long stairs, hallways with panting and chairs used to be the way to do business. Men have a hard time ignoring when you're right in front of them. These 3 years I spent stuck in this school waiting for advancement to leave one career for another, which hasn't panned out, was probably based more on a desire to return to my ways before I joined the workforce. Who really wants to grade papers and stand in front of kids for a living? A lot of work for a payoff, I'm not sure, replaces what I sought. People with a little power thrive over making you feel out of place and wonder how your life can work without your position. We are actually afterthoughts and replaceable until the money stops and they need us again. And that's why they can't let me go and thrive in my own dreams. As I was in the middle of talking about that poem, Audacity decided to crash on me. So that's all well and good. It obviously doesn't want to hear me talk about college and stuff that really isn't very important to anybody. So let's just go into another poem. I'm so fucking done. I'm done with you. I'm done with this Shazam action figure I'm holding right now. I'm done with your mom, because she won't call me back. Let's read Cinnamon. Did I read Cinnamon last week? No. Surge of sugar in the brain, feeling the hunger for cutting a cinnamon roll with a steak knife and gazing at the inside, all the little bubbles and strands overlapping with the frosting shining on them. That's the orgasm I can't replicate. A full stomach and high feeling. And you just lay there on the couch, the TV going, and nothing has ever felt so perfect. That would be a Bukowski poem if Bukowski had an eating disorder. Instead, he had a drinking disorder. But I think that my poetry is getting worse. I think that I suck and I should probably just stop writing altogether. I should probably take up painting and suck at that for a while. So Eventide Harmony. Eventide is a pedal manufacturer for guitars. And the Eventide Harmonizer is that guitar effect that goes... This backed up way with all the desire gone as jobs and future plans make the hopes fade. I want to quit it all and exist as a person who knows no way other than autopilot. Adult level mocks the disease we had in our youth when they told us manifestation was real. I know I can keep at the art no one else likes, but those no ones won't care if I quit either. Even with a target on our heads, we keep walking, working, and sleeping. So I may not want to do the work today, but I might try tomorrow, eventually. I have been on a kick here lately. I have been over school. I've been over work. Work's actually pretty good. But, my God, I am 30, and I have to comprehend the fact that none of my dreams really came true. It's the cold, harsh reality of adulthood is that none of us really have an arc, as Polly on The Sopranos would have said. The gentleman who played him, Tony Sirico, passed away yesterday. And I read some quotations of his character on Reddit. And that's one of the things that he said. He said, you know, he did some years in the army, did some years in the can, and all he really amounted to was half a wise guy. He never got his arc. And that's most people. You know, we think that we're doing the right thing. We're following a path. And it's just not really working out the way we thought it would. I'm not unhappy with my life. But, you know, after getting that degree, I felt like everything would happen. Last year, before I got laid off, I thought that if I could just finish grad school as quickly as possible and find a teaching job by this fall, that I could leave and they wouldn't have to lay me off. Well, they did lay me off in October. Found a new job, a better paying job. But I finished this degree and, you know, it's not much to ask to want to teach for a living, but I guess it is. And I just know from my previous experiences that I never know where I'm going to end up. I never know. No matter if I have the best laid plans ever, I never know what's going to happen. So I'm going to read a poem that's entitled Poem About Weather and Trees. Do you think that this poem is about weather and trees or is it about butts and ice cream cake? I don't like ice cream cake. I think ice cream cake is highly overrated. Spring should come sooner, as Georgia cannot mint which season we endure. We share this time, the same sun and wind. Yet our natures are alien. Really, I want the leaves back so they obscure the sun. We romanticize their changing and falling. But what of the shade? I prefer the shadows. Looking through the bare limbs, seeing roads, cars, people, removes my lie of isolation. In fact, we share too much. Cold in the morning, AC on in the evening, and dressing in layers, when we'd rather sit in our underwear, the screen showing some obscene sequence of people screaming, flying, or fucking. Instead, I turn to look out the window at the slamming car doors, people talking and wandering the street, as if this is NYC and not bumfuck Georgia. A few leaves mask the outside, where people forget there are ears and eyes inside. I'm no fan of heat, and the excuse to stay inside during winter is sweet, yet the waiting and changing only prolong the anticipation. Put the light behind some trees and turn the temp down with a tower fan running and iced drinks. Getting sticky with your love feels better with some sweat, and we like a little stink to complement our end. I am in July of this year, and I wrote this, let's see when I wrote this, because I was probably just over winter at the time. See if it'll tell me. On March 13th, 2022, at 6:53 p.m., is when I wrote that poem. And I know that I was just so over looking out in trees and being able to see through them and seeing what was on the other side and all that bullshit. But man, I'm over this heat. I am ready for fall. If we could just have perpetual fall and some leaves on the trees to, you know, for the sake of privacy, that would be great. I gotta take another sip of water. Should we check Twitter to see if more people have responded to my troll tweet? I don't think anyone has. I'm done with the poetry. I'm going to read part of a short story. And this is a pretty short story. It's almost a short short, but not really. It's 9 pages. It's only 2,600 words, and it took me 2 days to write, and it's called Tattle. And I was thinking about writing about a stalker, something that I've kind of done before, but not really. But this past year, I've been trying to write more literary work and break away from what I've been doing with the Demise series. And this one is creepy to a degree, but it doesn't end up the way you think it does. And I don't know that it ends well. And I don't even know if I'm going to read the whole thing on this fucking podcast. Maybe I'll just tease you with it because I'm planning on releasing 10 short stories in the period of 10 weeks. And I've already read 2 of those short stories on the podcast. She Calls Me Daddy and Going Down on One Knee. Those will be part of it. But this one, I don't know. We'll just have to see. You can tell I'm in rare form today. I overheard him say that he got his styling mousse from Ulta. There are not many men's products in here, and the woman who greeted me asked if I needed any help finding anything, but the tone in her voice suggested I might be here for my wife or girlfriend. No, I'm bending down to reach this $50 mousse that comes in a bottle that's skinnier than a Coke can and not even 6 inches long. Will this even last me a week? The thing about Leonard Reynolds is that he's probably living beyond his means but doesn't realize it. Everyone thinks because he's a VP that he can afford the $50 mousse that probably explodes after one use. Sure, he has the money to pay for this. I do too. However, I'm an accountant and know that with such expenses come similar ones. He's only springing for the overpriced hair products, but also the skincare regimen manicures and possibly pedicures and various colognes. His short attention span prevents him from wearing the same scent for any stint of time. I'm only buying this because I might understand him better. If I bought all the same products, wore Brooks Brothers, and even went so far as to buy that stupid Tesla, I wouldn't be Leo. Wouldn't even look similar to him. After all, I'm an import from Chambers County, Alabama, and an Auburn grad. His law degree was stamped and signed by the president of Vanderbilt. We're both big fishes in small ponds, depending on the pond. But I lack his chin. He has blue eyes that almost look like contacts, but he wears glasses during our meetings. Unlike my nose, which my grandmother claims is similar to her Native American grandmother's, Leo wears his eagle beak well. Some men just look presidential. And when I put my debit card in the chip reader and the cashier looks down at her Apple Watch, I know that when Leo comes in, she doesn't mind eye contact. In fact, she probably knows him by name. I bet that mousse makes her think of him. According to the public property records, Leo's house in Cobb County is about a half a million. He's situated in one of those suburban neighborhoods where all the homes are brick, three-story jobs with carpeted basements and back porches with grills. I couldn't stand to have my neighbor so close, always watching me, feeling as if I was crammed in a Leave It to Beaver sandwich. But he needs that space for his wife, daughter, and football-playing son, and all their collectible knickknacks that actually maintain their value while dust settles on the shelves. I've never been invited to one of the family birthday parties or cookouts like some of our colleagues. Despite that we're frequently in the same room, Leo doesn't even know my name. My curiosity should end with the mousse and looking up his name in the Cobb County property directory. I put the canister on my bathroom counter and look at my toothpaste, floss, deodorant, and comb. I don't put anything in my hair except water and shampoo. And this fucking $50 can makes my shit look cheap. It's so out of place. Since Leo goes to church at Preliminary Baptist off Venture Road near Dallas, I take the opportunity to drive by his house and see it in person. Parking across the street would only have his neighbors peeking out their windows if they're not also at church. Instead, I reverse and park facing the street in Leo's driveway and pull out a sealed manila envelope full of financials in case anyone asks. It's not like I can pull his garage door open and walk inside. He has a security system. How are you feeling so far about this story? Are you liking it? Am I reading it okay? Do I give you enough passion for this guy? I can't even find my mouse on the screen to scroll down. However, I can walk into his back lawn and pretend to be looking inside to see if anyone's home. From the back porch, I see the grill I knew would be there with multiple accessories that match the stainless steel finish. There's a swing set for his kids. Aside from the modestly sized TV and a wooden entertainment center in the corner of the living room, I'm most impressed by the kitchen table. There is a fancier dining room he obviously never uses, but it's barely visible from out here. Instead of a marble top or fancy wood, it's got cheap placemats, some magazines on one side, and a closed MacBook with a Pineapple Willy's plastic cup. Perhaps Leo and his wife come from a modest background because their taste in decor is obviously stuff they settled for in a rooms to go from when they moved in. I feel better about the moose knowing that it likely appears out of place in Leo's bathroom too. Still, I can't help but want to go further to understand it more. Monday, we have a meeting in the boardroom, which consists of three long interconnected tables, a projector with a large screen, and those ridiculous lights that hang from the ceiling and illuminate just enough to see each other in the unremarkable carpet. Leo sits with the other two VPs, and they share a laugh, though I can't hear what they're talking about. My direct boss, Vice President of Finance, takes control of the meeting and relays a lot of information that people in other departments don't care about. Leo doesn't even pretend to pay attention as he's scrolling on his company-issued Dell laptop. Vincent, Howard points at me, could you provide some insight in your accounts? USCG currently has 2 million or so in backlog, I say. ICOT only has a few thousand that needs to be tended to. Who is responsible for the 2 million, Leo asks. Howard is directly responsible for BPO assisting with those. BPO? The outsourced workers, I say. We have outside hires? Leo looks at Howard. For the past 5 years, Leonard, Howard shrugs. So, what does he do? I'm an accountant, I say. I handle both our clients and our financials. So you're like payroll. No, that's a different department. If you're sitting there listening and wondering, when is this short story going to pick up? It happens now. From my cubicle on the far left corner of the building, I can see the parking lot and I'm printing records when I notice Leo leaving 2 hours early. Such are the perks of being VP. I haven't taken my lunch hour yet, so I figure I'll stash the documents in my drawer and head out there. By the time I get to my car, he's already gone, but I happen to know which way he goes home. I catch up to him thanks to the traffic light and follow at a distance. Worst case scenario, he sees me and I pull into a McDonald's. Oddly enough, he pulls into a series of townhomes that were recently built to look like we have a dash of San Francisco in the suburban Atlanta area. I find them gaudy, but the sign of the entrance states it's a place for senior citizens. At a yellow home with a large stoop, a woman about 55 years old with obviously dyed strawberry hair hugs Leo and they go inside. Is that his mother? Maybe an aunt? I note the address on my Google Maps app and drive off to get some curly fries from Arby's to go with a chicken sandwich from the neighboring Chick-fil-A. That's something my wife and I have done in the past because I, as this character, later says, I don't really like waffle fries at Chick-fil-A. I think that they're kind of bland and way too big. I'd rather have slender fries that are just pounded with salt so that I can dip them in ketchup and, you know, accumulate more mass. But the fries at Arby's aren't even that great either. I mean, they're not as good as Checkers fries. You don't really care, do you? You're probably a vegetarian and a vegan and someone who only sucks honey through a straw. That's your fucking diet right there, and you're slim as hell. And you think you're so sexy when you got dark circles under your eyes because you need protein, and you're anemic, and you're a piece of shit. When I'm back at the office, I have about 20 minutes to spare, so I look at Leo's emergency contacts, and the address isn't listed. I'm sorry. I'm not very good at not breaking at my own jokes. I'm sorry. I use my phone to look up who lives there. Melinda Wayman. Another Google search, and I find she used to work for this company before I started. An old Excel spreadsheet of our company directory from 2010 shows she was in revenue management, which was later merged into my department. She would have been early 40s and Leo would have been in his 30s. I'm pretty sure his wife is 2 years older than him, so it's not out of the realm of possibility that he's into older women. By the way, I'm just going to cut back in here. The reference to the old Excel spreadsheet, that's a real thing. I'm actually able to still log into my old company's ADP. I can't log in or out, but I was able to download the current company directory via Excel spreadsheet because that's some service that ADP offers. And I have no idea why I was granted access to that, but I was able to see who was still working there. And I found out that this particular person who used to give me hell at my old job is now working in the call center. So they're not even doing their old job anymore. They had to go to a different department to keep one. And I would rather die than work in a call center. Howard walks past me as I'm throwing away my bags of fast food and tilts his head. Double dipping today, he asks. I just got fries from Arby's and a sandwich from Chick-fil-A. You don't like waffle fries? They don't have any flavor and they're too big, I say. Well, thanks for helping me make Leonard look like a jackass today. He's always up his own ass. Think I pissed him off? Oh, no. He would need an attention span to give a shit about anyone but himself. He won't even remember your name next time he sees you. If he sees you. If you know what I mean. People like Leo give people like me a serene sense of anonymity. I could have walked up to Melinda's house and knocked on the door, pretended that I had the wrong house, and he probably wouldn't recognize me. So I head for her place after work, and he's still parked outside. When he walks out, I snap a few pictures from my iPhone and duck my face down when he comes near. Once Leo pulls out, I go over to Melinda's door and ring the bell. From outside, I can hear what sounds like a cat screaming, but it's an old-fashioned doorbell like you hear in movies. Up close, she's definitely someone who would turn heads in her prime, but I'm kind of taken aback. If he was having an affair with this woman, I wouldn't expect the burst blood vessel in her right eye, distinct crow's feet, and aged freckles and pale spots on her shoulders. A guy like Leo has to be really superficial. Hi, I smile. I'm looking for Leo. My name is Paul. Leo? She takes a step back. No, there's no one here named Leo. Before I can ask the follow-up, the door is in my face, so that makes it clear he's fucking around. From my door, I can access the screenshot I took of Leo's emergency contacts. I could text the photos of him to his wife from a spoofed number. What will I be accomplishing, though? Do I hate Leo or merely envy him? Would shattering his marriage give me a sense of satisfaction? Alright, so I'm not going to read anymore because I want you as the audience to figure out what is Vincent going to do about Leo? And if he does do anything, is there going to be any fallout from this? I believe that the impetus inspiration for this short story was partially the idea of a guy who has got everything having an affair with a noticeably older woman. And I don't mean a guy in his like teens or 20s. I'm talking about a guy in his 40s, maybe even early 50s, having an affair with a woman who is noticeably older than him. So that's part of it. I wanted to explore the idea of stalking someone in the contemporary age where it didn't involve you tracking them down and killing them or sending them threatening messages. Just the idea that any one of us could be stalked based on the information that's public. And there's plenty of it, let me tell you. Because the site that he uses to find his VP's information, to find Leonard's information, that's real. There are sites like QPublic. I probably shouldn't be giving you that information on here, but it's public knowledge, so who cares? But QPublic has a lot of counties' property records on it. So if you wanted to find someone's house or address and you can't find it in a normal way, like through just a Google search, you could type in their last name and find it from there. You could also, if you have their address, you could look at it and find photos of it and also information like how much they paid for their house and who owned it before them, stuff like that. And it's interesting to me. Because I've pretty much looked at my entire neighborhood on there just to see, because I mean, who doesn't want to know who they live around? But it would just be interesting, someone who had more nefarious ambition, what they could do with that information if they wanted to. And you know, if you don't know who is living in that house across the street from you, you could find their information. You could look them up on Facebook from that information. And they likely have a social media presence that you could find outside of that. What was I reading recently that I think it was 2.5. We were going over 2.5 Men. I was talking about stalking because Charlie was stalking Mia and he was doing it through the means of looking up her name in a phone book and also trying to look up all the dance studios in Malibu on a map. Very rudimentary style of stalking. But do you want me to keep doing this? No? Okay. Well, I can stop here. This has been Patrick Attaway with Demise of the Podcast. Happy reading. Happy writing. Happy weekend. Happy life. Why don't you go get one? Thank you.
Thank you.